This episode of TMS brought to you by Squarespace at squarespace.com. Get a great website, store, portfolio, and more with all the templates and tools you need at squarespace.com. Start a free trial, and when you decide to stay, use the code MORNING at checkout and save 10% on your order. At squarespace.com, build it beautiful.
Okay.
Well, all right.
Well, okay. I'm going to add a game code to our list.
Oh, good.
Because yeah, it's my day to add one of those.
Yeah, that'll make it three. Listeners, mm-hmm. You may win three things. And by the way, I'm going to be quicker with you people today. We didn't end that segment till like 10 minutes to the hour last time. So I'm going to haul ass. Just count on some rhythm here in the segment this morning with Daryl. Just count on that, chat
cool.
room. All right, here goes. The show begins in threes, twos, ones. Coming up on TMS, Warcraft waits for you.
Get on that pole, Grandma.
Bieber feeds a squirrel.
Potato truck.
Why is that funny all on its own? I don't know. Let him sting your unit.
Ooh, major spoilers.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I used to have in that empty space, I used to have some of the prettiest Shirley Temple bottles I've ever seen. And this woman came in here with the palsy, the poor soul. She thought they were so cute, and she reached for them and knocked them every one down and broke them all to damn pieces. So I took her in the back and gave her some Coke and some ammonia. I thought she was going to have a spell.
It was the first attractive voice I'd heard all day.
The Morning Stream, 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 The Morning Stream.
This is The Morning Stream. Hail Hydra!
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream for Wednesday, the 15th, 12th, 11th of 2016. 18, 20.
Right. Let's just throw all the numbers out and one of them at least will be right.
One will stick. No, that's my theory about podcasting. You throw enough crap at the wall, something's going to stick eventually, mm-hmm. right?
Yep, and TMS stuck.
Yeah, like a big wad of gooey spaghetti.
Of meat.
I went spaghetti, you went meat. If there's any difference between us, it's spaghetti and meat.
Well, spaghetti and meat.
Anyway, we're here. We're happy to be here. It's Wednesday already. We were just talking before the show. I cannot believe how fast time is moving for me right now. I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Yesterday was rough, dude. We had a great show, right? Mm-hmm. We finished that up. That was awesome. Great time. Other things happened during the day. And then about, I don't know, I want to say, I went to a doctor's appointment yesterday. That went fine. No issues. All good. Just a checkup. Everything's good. And I walked out of there happy as it could be.
Everything where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, they're all there. Although the third nipple on the left butt cheek is still a little bit of a concern.
Okay.
But then I went to Wendy's and I went healthy. I got a chicken thing. I mean, as healthy as you can get at Wendy's.
Yeah, I was going to say, at Wendy's, the healthiest thing. So you didn't get the breaded?
No. I got
the new jalapeno chicken business?
No, because that looked like it might cause some fire.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want that. So I got what they said on the thing was the ultimate chicken club. And Brian, what I got was the ultimate smashed looking thing. It didn't look like the picture at all.
Oh no.
I'm convinced that Wendy's is the worst offender in this regard. I think McDonald's actually does a pretty good job of the food looking close to what you're ordering, at least today.
The more simple the menu item, the closer it looks to what they show as the picture. But when you start adding the two all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, tomatoes on a sesame seed bun.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no tomatoes. it starts looking like, whoops, we accidentally had this on the floor and everybody took turns stepping on it.
Yeah, but here it is for you now. Eat it.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I get it. I just, for whatever
you
reason.
You wanted the special sauce all over the outside of the bun? You got it. You can have it your way.
For whatever reason, though, it just feels like every time I open a Wendy's a burger package thing, the patty's like 5 inches to the left and like there's stuff hanging off the other side and the bun is like real thin on one end and super fat on the other end and it's just embarrassing, people. I know we want our food fast, but it doesn't look like it doesn't have to look like it was, you know, put through a hydraulic press. Mm-hmm. Make it look okay. Have some pride in your work. What would old-fashioned Dave Thomas say?
He'd be really disappointed
from his grave.
Wonder if a fast food place would be applauded or just, you know, would just get a really quick publicity stunt if the photos that they used on their menu were of the way it actually comes to you, like of the food actually comes to you.
Oh,
so you walk in, you go up to the counter, you look up at the menu, and the photo is like, you know, the burger with the patty 5 inches sticking out to one side and the bun not as thick on one side as it is on the other, and you're ketchup like all over the mat.
You're describing a utopia that we'll never know. Like, I love
that.
You
know, if you can't make the burger look like the photo, make the photo look like the burger.
What's the term?
Under promise, over deliver.
There you go. Under promise, over deliver. That's the new way to do it. Mm-hmm. But I got to give McDonald's credit. Last time I was in there a couple weeks ago, what I ate looked like what I saw on the menu, and it was a fancier burger.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa, you guys are getting all artisanal in here. And they're kind of going nuts with that stuff. They have like ordering from the table stuff now.
Really?
Like, yeah, weird new plate.
We don't have that here at ours, but I'm sure it's coming.
Oh, it always is. Whatever dumb restaurant innovations we make here in the Salt Lake City area, it moves to Denver.
You're a testing ground?
Yeah, because eventually you want to get a bite of the Denver, as someone would tell us. Okay.
I could go for one of those.
Could you go for a bite of the Denver?
I could go for a bite of the Denver.
There you go. All right. Hey, a reminder. Something happened yesterday. I never told people why my day turned yesterday. I'll just say briefly. You ever get like an email out of the nowhere from someone you haven't talked to in nigh on 16 years,
mm-hmm.
who's suddenly chewing you out for something you don't even know that you did anything?
You ever get that obsidian?
You ever? Hadn't been that long with them. No, out of the blue, like literally out of the blue, I get this thing and it's digging up stuff I don't even know about. Like, no. What are we talking about here? Like, it was just like slamming me up and down, this email from someone, again, I've not seen since 2000. Okay. The year 2000 is when I last saw them. And before that, I think it was 87 I saw them. So it's been like 87. Wow. Then I saw them again in 2000. And then I haven't seen them since or talked to them since. And yesterday I get just basted up and down by this person.
Are they chewing you out for your lack of communication?
No. It wasn't that at all.
The fact that they have to always reach out to you.
I mean, at least I would have understood that. This came out of freaking, it's just out of the blue, like you say. And it soured my day. The rest of the day, I couldn't get my, you know what it reminded me of? It's like when you get an internet troll that mm-hmm. just pushes the right button and you don't know why it's getting to you the way it's getting to you.
Right. Yeah.
I was like that all day long and it was driving me crazy. And I fired back with this like kind of angry reply. I'm like, what are we doing here? What are we talking about? Like, it's been 16 years. You know, look, what are we doing? And I haven't heard back and I don't know what's going on. So I'm forgetting about it today. It's water under the bridge. Whiskey under the bridge, as the country singer would say. Who's that who says that? Dwight?
Whiskey Under the Bridge?
Yeah, there's a song called Whiskey Under the Bridge.
Oh, really? It's so country business.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Here it is.
It's a Red Hot Chili Peppers.
It is Brooks and Dunn.
Brooks and Dunn.
Here's a little taste. Just give you a piece. I know you love country.
Oh, wow. This doesn't sound like any other country song ever.
They do all kind of have a certain tone to them, don't they? Anyway,
guitars and Cadillacs.
The good news is the Warcraft movie Salt Lake City premiere tickets are up and available and reservations are happening. It started yesterday. I've been tweeting about it and everything, but I haven't mentioned it on a show yet, so I'll do it here. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I mentioned it on Core. But anyway, you can go on over to frogpants.com/Warcraft and it will give you everything you need. Even if you can't come, we got these cool prints I'm working on you can get as a way to say, oh, I helped support the thing, but I didn't get to go. So even if you can't go and you live in all parts of the world that would never obviously come for just a movie, there's a way to make this happen. But anyway, it's over there at frogpants.com/Warcraft. They're going very fast. I recommend highly you get in there and get one.
Since my ride up to Salt Lake City might be sleeping, you know, because they lead quite the nightlife.
Yeah,
I better hook up with you and maybe get a couple more reserved for my ride.
We can totally do that. Do we know who your ride is?
Yeah, it's going to be Same Sex Mary.
Oh, I love those guys. Yeah, I didn't know I was going to get to see them.
Just the two, just James and Seth.
Okay. Well, are there other Same Sex Marys? I thought there was just
Are there? Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was just those
five-piece band.
It is?
Yeah.
Why did I not know that? I always thought they... I knew that they once in a while... I thought they just once in a while perform with extra people, but it was always just them.
No, I mean, they're the Lennon and McCartney of Same Sex Mary. I guess you can't really say that because it's always the same four. They are the Difford and Tilbrook of Same Sex Mary.
All right. I always thought it was like they were the Huey Lewis, and sometimes there'd be the news there.
They are the Jay Maskus of same-sex marriage.
Ah, okay. They're the... Hold on. I got another one.
All right.
They're the... No, that's not good. Yeah, no. They're
the Mike Ness of same-sex marriage.
They're the David Gilmour and Roger Waters of same-sex marriage.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
A lot of Pink Floyd lately. You've been playing it. I've been thinking about them. Pink Floyd. Right. They're back in. They're all in, everyone.
They're back, ladies and gentlemen.
Frogpants.com/Warcraft. Sorry.
You heard about this concert that's going on this summer.
You hear about this? What is it?
You hear about this? It's Paul McCartney, The Who, Roger Waters.
Oh.
Oh, my God. It's like an amazing list.
Is it a charity thing? Or
like
just
every
a...
classic rock. Hold on.
It's not like it's not like a big We Are the World kind of deal, right?
No, it's like, I got to pull up this list here.
I'm all in already, though.
I think it's Bob Dylan. Here, where is it? What's if I could figure out the name of it, it is like, it's Old Cella. It's very good. It's very good. It's like
Old
Desert.
Old Cella. That's
Desert
very...
Trip. There it is. Desert Trip. All
Desert
right, you're running this lineup? Here's
right.
this lineup.
We're going on a trip to a famous rocket ship. Okay, go ahead.
All right, it's Bob Dylan, The Rolling Stones,
Whoa.
Paul McCartney,
Whoa.
The Who, Neil Young,
Jeez.
And Roger Waters.
Jeez.
They're doing it 2 weekends in October, October 7th through 9th and October 14th through 16th. Tickets are a surprising $400 or $500 for your base level. They go all the way, they go as low as $199 up to $1,599 or even $3,000 for VIP.
Holy shit.
But I mean, come on, to be able to say, oh yeah, I saw, that's like saying today I saw, Katy Perry, Nicki Minaj, Miley Cyrus, Justin Bieber, and
all the worst things. I need to take off the headphones and go throw up.
Azalea and Ariana Grande all in one show.
Oh my Lord. All right, listen, I'm going to...
Just for you young people,
I'm just
all the people I described.
Listen, I would go as high... This is the truth. I would go as high as 100, no more than that.
Really?
Yeah, you know why? Because at the end of the day, these are just people who fart like the rest of us and made some amazing music, but I got it all on digital anyway, so I can just listen to it anytime I want. I am an old fart when it comes to concerts these days, so if you're going to charge me a grand or more... F off.
The reason you go to a concert and the reason I go to a concert might be different.
Well, I love I'm a huge, I don't regret any concert I ever went to, and I'm glad I did them, but at some point it becomes ridiculous. None of these guys need the money, first of all.
No.
Now,
you're not going because you want to help them out.
Right.
It's like an Indiegogo. I really want to see this Bob Dylan fella make something of himself, so I'm going to go ahead and go to his concert.
You know, he's got real gumption. I think he's going to go places if we can just help give him a little boost.
Right.
I get it. I totally know where you're coming from, dude.
You want to see these things perform live. It's like seeing, you've got the Beatles, the Stones, Dylan, the Who, Pink Floyd, and Neil Young all in in some sort of representation all on one stage.
Yeah.
I mean, God Lord, if you could get these guys doing, it's not just going to be like, all right, the Rolling Stones go off the stage. Now Bob Dylan. No, and Bob Dylan's going to come up and do a song with the Stones, and then Paul McCartney's going to come up and do a thing with the Who, and oh my gosh, what an incredible.
See, now what's funny is everything you've described makes perfect sense if I switch out all the names to be the original cast of Star Trek: The Next Generation, or if it was all my favorite artists and cartoonists on one stage, or something. Isn't it funny that I would pay $600 to $1,000 for that experience quicker than I do this? And that probably just means I'm more of a casual music intaker,
right?
And it's as simple as that. I mean, if you've got passion for these guys, obviously this is like the biggest thing ever, and you'd never want to miss it.
Totally, And those guys do need the money, by the way, the original cast of Star Trek.
That's actually true, yeah. How's Amron Shimmerman going to get a haircut this week if we don't show up and have him sign something?
That's right.
That reminds me, my niece, my niece, her name is Morgan, wonderful young lady, awesome girl, kid, woman. She's a woman now, I guess. She's 21 or whatever. Right. She was supposed to go to a Beyonce concert. Those tickets are 600 bones a piece for that Lemonade tour.
Oh, right. Yes.
Or she gets up there and goes, Lemonade, that cool, refreshing drink. Very good. Oh my gosh, that's too funny that we both tapped into that. Anyway, she American Airlines screwed up and locked her in a plane for 4 hours and she missed it.
Oh no.
Yeah, she was so pissed. So like apparently, I don't know the exact details, but the plane couldn't take off. And for 4 hours, they literally blocked the door so people couldn't get out. And I don't think you're allowed to do that. I think there's some FAA regulations that say it's like a maximum of 2.5 or some number, other number.
I think it's just that if it's more than 2 hours, they have to provide water.
Oh, was that all it is?
No. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is, but there's some.
Imagine sitting on the tarmac, not able to exit your plane for 4 hours and miss your $600 Beyonce concert that you traveled to see.
Oh, that would be such a, that's, oh my God.
And look, I don't care three rats anuses about a Beyonce concert, but she does. She cares.
Yeah, of course.
And she got royally screwed. So good job, American Airlines.
You know, if this was the Warcraft movie or something like that, it would be, you'd be ticked off as well. Wouldn't be as much of a one-time thing as the Beyonce concert.
Well, sure, and it wouldn't be $600 a ticket, but still, you're right. Like if suddenly the theater that I'm renting flooded, what a horrible, hideous waste that would be.
Oh, jeez. And this summer, they're saying because of TSA, they're having a hard time, I guess, recruiting and keeping people in TSA.
Oh, gee, I can't imagine why, Brian. It seems like such a fun place to be.
It looks like it's just laugh a minute.
Yeah. TSA. All the perks and benefits. I can't imagine.
They're saying you should probably get to the airport 3 hours before your flight now.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Remember when it used to be for safety reasons? Come early so that there's, making the air safer for everyone. And now it's just like, no, it sucks to be here. We're doing we're doing scans that are worthless that anyone can get around. Some guy sneaks a knife in right under your nose. Like it's terrible. Mm-hmm. The TSA. Oh, yeah.
I'm dreading.
Blows.
I mean, you know, again, one month from today, we're going to be watching Warcraft. But a little before that is the leg I'm doing in Las Vegas. I'm going to have to get to the airport 3 hours early and potentially sit in an hour and a half line TSA for an hour and 20 minute flight to Las Vegas.
That is so busted.
It's a busted system.
Completely exactly busted. Somebody needs to swoop in. Hire somebody who knows what the hell they're doing. Organize that shit, you dumbasses.
That's right.
Oh my gosh, I'm getting mad and I don't even have to fly anywhere for a while. Just do it. Fix it. All right. Yeah. So was my point? My point was everything's great. Speaking of American Airlines, they suck. They do not represent us as Americans. I'd like our foreign friends to know that, okay? We do not align ourselves with American Airlines. They just stole the name. Well, guess who else is doing it? Budweiser. They have renamed their beer America. And this isn't even a joke. This is for real.
This seems like an onion. Doesn't it? It feels like onion.
Yes.
You know, the onion story. But no, this is totally true.
Yes. So here's what we're going to do. Until the November election, Budweiser is swapping out everything on its can, including its own name, to be as patriotic as humanly possible. So here's what they're going to do. Potentially ingenious, some are saying, they're going to do this. They're going to a branding extreme. They've kept the same can you've always known, but when you look closely, you realize that they swapped out the name Budweiser for America and done some other stuff. Like visually, there's some other things tweaked on there.
Right, they changed the Anheuser-Busch to U.S.
Yeah.
Make America beer again.
Yeah, it's really horrendous, and I don't know why they're
doing
it.
This America makes me have to pee like a racehorse.
Do Budweiser fans, assuming there are some, it's the king of beers, right? King of beers, isn't that what they used to say? We're the king of beers? I think that's what they said.
Right, yes.
That's theirs, right? Not Rocky Mountain, whatever was Coors.
Still is Coors.
And you guys, that's there where you are, right? Aren't they in?
It's Golden, Colorado. It is, I can step out of my house and be at Coors in 5 minutes.
Okay, sweet. I'm glad you're not
like I ever have, but
I'm glad you're not an alcoholic or like beer. I'm glad that those are true. But anyway, there they are. American beer. Catch it. Exciting news, everyone.
Jeez.
Time for us to lean in hard into our next segment. It's the Stump Daryl segment. That means you guys get to participate. 801-895-4724. I will take the first caller. You'll get a chance to win some cool prizes today.
Mm-hmm. And, lots of good stuff.
Yeah. And you'll work with Daryl toward either his incorrect or correct answer. for today's subject. We have a caller already. Who's this? Hello? Hello? Put it up to your head. And he hung up.
Aww.
Anyone else want to call in? Poopy pants.
Next caller.
I think you got nervous or something. You thought, yeah, you know, I'll call, and then I'll hear this voice, and then they'll feel like we're worth $600 a ticket, too, and they'll be wrong, because we're just dudes. We're just dudes like everybody else. All right, hi, who's this?
Hey, it's Dice Tomato from Trivia Geeks. What's going on?
Hey.
Oh, cool, Dice Tomato. How you doing, man?
Good to have you back.
Doing all right. Saw the first caller there didn't make it through.
No, it's his loss, your win. You've won already, as far as I'm concerned.
That's right.
Not really, but we'll see how you do. You know the rules. You know what's up. So let's call Daryl. Oh, we know we got to do the topic.
Go for it.
Yeah, what's
the
topic?
Let's tell them the category first.
All right.
Category for Daryl today is going to be Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Ah, now known as Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's right. Yes.
Episode 4, A New Hope. So there's your subject. You're probably very familiar with the material as a trivia geek, I'm sure. Do you think Daryl will get this category correct or wrong?
You know, I think it had been any other Indiana Jones, Daryl would have some issues, but I'm pretty sure he's pretty good with the Raiders.
All right, let's find out.
Let's pull him in before he has a chance to hear this.
Yeah, before he has a chance to quit and do a meeting or whatever the hell he was doing yesterday. So here's this.
Yeehaw, I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
It's Daryl Skeels on the line, everybody. Hello, Daryl.
Hello.
Time to stump you. You're being stumped today.
Yes. Well, maybe not. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
We'll see.
Let's talk about what our contestant could win, Brian, if he wins. By the way, this is Dice Tomato Daryl. Daryl, Dice Tomato Daryl, Dice Tomato Daryl.
That's right. Well, first off, Stump Daryl is brought to you by Coverville, where today you're going to hear a celebration of the birthdays, or what would have been the birthday, of singer Bobby Darin. You know him from songs like Mac the Knife and Beyond the Sea, as well as Cher. You know her from cutout butt cheeks on her jeans on a Navy vessel. We're going to listen to covers of both of those artists today on Coverville.
Nice.
All right.
Sounds good to me.
Here's what Dice Tomato can win.
All right.
You could potentially win a download code for the entire For Life album by Phases, Scott and My and Iceworm's favorite album of 2015. You can win a copy of Contagion, which is a zombie shooter, and the South Park Stick of Truth game from Steam.
That's a big one, dude. That's a big deal, that third one.
Rad game, yep.
Everything on this list is good. This may be one of the better digital packages we have offered as a prize package. Insane. I didn't even know that. Man, I hope. Yeah. I wish I could win this. Actually, I have that game.
I would be surprised if you didn't.
Yeah. I have too many games. All right. So, Daryl, how you feeling? You good? You all good? Oh, hey, I heard they started the Star Trek filming. The production's going. Yeah. Did you hear about that?
Oh, the TV
The streaming
series?
Yeah. TV series, yeah.
Isn't that cool?
I have not heard that news yet.
Yeah.
I still have my reservations about that show.
Oh, do you? Okay. I'm going to say this. If they go the anthology route, which is new story every season, or new crew and all that stuff every season, that is really exciting to me for some reason. It does have
I like that idea.
Yeah, it's a cool idea, but it has this weird potential of down the road being very complicated in the trivia department. Because,
interesting. Kind of like a American Horror Story or...
Fargo, whatever.
Fargo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like that.
I also like the idea of them having a Starfleet Academy, but I don't think that's ever going to fly.
No, Starfleet. Well, I mean, if it's an anthology, they could spend time at the Academy
one season of Academy.
Sure. It's entirely possible. I'm very excited about it. All right, Daryl, no more shall we wallow in the place of Star Trek pontification. Let's instead ask you a question. Your topic is Raiders of the Lost Ark, and... I'm not going to tell you what your listener friend here thinks you're going to do, but he's going to help you one direction or the other.
Okay.
You like Raiders?
I didn't hear anything this morning.
Oh, okay, good. And you like Raiders, right? You're a fan? You like them?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Do you have a favorite?
I've seen those faces melt many times.
Do you like, is your list the same as everyone else's? First, third, and second? Is that how you do it?
Yeah.
Fourth way off? Okay. I don't. I go first, second, third.
Right.
Just barely. I'm not saying third's bad. Mm-hmm. I'm saying four is.
Oh, no, it's not bad.
Four is a flaming bag of camel poo. And it's
yes, that one's bad.
Way down there.
That one doesn't even. It's not even canon. It's out. It's not even.
You said a bag of camel poo?
Yeah, camel poo. you know, words I can never think of until I say them. All right, here it is. In the Raiders,
I guess it's better than a box of moose knuckles.
Oh yeah, dude, for sure. Because those are penises, is what those are. In the Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones, is going after the idol in South America. He gets it only to have it taken away from him. He then gets chased by the natives. He tells the pilot to get the engine started on their plane. What is the name of Indy's pilot? Mm. All right, here are your possibilities. Man, this seems easy, but maybe it's only to me.
Yeah.
Your first option is A, Jock, B, Reggie, C, Fred, or D, Butch. So it's A, Jock, B, Reggie, C, Fred, or D, Butch. I won't say which one I think sounds the least like the possible name, but so Daryl, no pressure here, but there's like three major digital prizes on the line here, and
that's right.
You know, whether you get it right or wrong is up to you.
Fantastic music and gaming could belong to our contestant if you answer the way it needs to be answered, I guess.
That's right. So Diced Tomato, do you want to direct him at all? You got any thoughts there?
You know, to be honest, I never caught the name of this guy. Mm. I know he had a snake in the plane.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Why did it have
to
be snakes?
Too bad we didn't ask what animal did he have in the plane.
Yeah, that would have been easy.
Yeah.
That would have been the dumbest question.
I don't
ever
remember catching his name, so that's kind of... Oh.
That's all right. So, Daryl, knowing that...
Yeah, knowing that he doesn't know, what do you know?
Well, let's see. What do I know? I know who it's not.
Okay. Who's that?
It's not going to be Butch.
Okay.
Okay.
And it's not going to be Reggie.
Okay.
Okay.
Jock or Fred. Well, one of these sound rings a bell. And I think it's because it just sounds strange. If you rode a horse, you'd be a jockey. If you flew a plane, why not use the same word?
Wow, your logic is killing me today. That's amazing. If you were on a horse, you're a jockey. So if you're flying a plane, why not use the same name?
Same thing, basically. A plane and a horse.
That's my favorite logic thing I've ever heard. All right, so you think Jock, then.
Oh, sure.
I don't know if it's pronounced Jock or Jacques. Jock.
Yeah, I think it's Jacques.
No, okay. I think it's pronounced Jock.
Jock, like the kind I'm wearing right now?
Yes, just like that.
Right. Sweet. It keeps my junk in place. Keeps me nice and supported, Brian. I'm not afraid of it.
There's not a bit of French in that pilot. If this is truly the answer, then there's not a bit of French in that pilot.
All right, fair enough. Let's find out if he's right and whether or not that determines the winnership of one diced tomato on the phone. Here's the thing.
Congratulations.
Oh, my goodness.
You're a winner.
Daryl's not only right, but so is the listener because
good job, Daryl.
Yeah, he said you'd get it right.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yay.
It is Jock. Jock, why is there a snake in the... No, what does he say? He goes,
there's a snake in the plane.
I hate snakes, Jock. I hate them, he says. Mm-hmm. And yes, that is the name. It rings. And Reggie's the snake because he turns around and says, oh, that's just my pet snake, Reggie.
Right.
And
Fred Sorensen, by the way, is the actor. And you also know him for exactly nothing else. This is his only film credit.
Wow.
Wow.
He reminds
me. Like, too bad that wasn't Indiana, Samuel L. Jones, because there would have been some. MS and snakes in the MS and plane.
Off the plane.
Yeah, exactly. Now,
this is interesting because he's. Well, okay. Wait, hold on a sec. So IMDb just credits him as Jock in Raiders of the Lost Ark, but also says that he's the pilot who flew the crew off Kauai when the hurricane hit. Oh, during the production of Jurassic Park. So he is actually a pilot.
Oh, so he's a pilot guy, and then they hire him for stuff. That makes sense.
That's right. And so he flew folks off the crew off of Kauai when they were filming Jurassic Park.
For years and years and years, I thought he was the dude from... The show where he has two brothers named Daryl. I can't think of the guy's name.
Oh, the guy who was in Blade Runner as well.
Yeah, the Blade Runner guy. And yeah. also...
Larry, Daryl, and Daryl?
Yeah, that yeah. guy. This is my brother Daryl, my other brother Daryl, so I guess he was Larry. I always thought...
Sanderson, I think?
Because when he says, when he turns around and goes, oh, that's just my pet snake, Reggie, he sounds like the guy with the two Daryl brothers. And so for years...
These are my friends. Yeah. I made them.
For years, I thought it was him. Anyway, I was wrong. Good job, everybody. Everyone wins. You're all winners now. You're all winners now. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to get a hold of Brian, as you know, via PM there, and he'll send you these codes.
Oh, he's already, I've already chatted it to him. I've already private messaged it to him.
Oh, we're way ahead of you then.
It is William Sanderson. All right. Hey, I nailed it.
Nice job. He's the created Kentucky Fried Chicken and,
Colonel Sanderson.
Oh, okay. Great. Congrats to him. And now we're back to Daryl. Daryl, good job. Well done today. Can you now give us a Google thing? Give us one of those, will you?
I can. I'm going to read part of a. Yes.
We need a name for this bit, right? Yeah, like
Googleus Maximus.
Gooey.
Perfect. Googleus Maximus.
Googleus Maximus.
I am going to read part of a query that I've entered into Google. You complete the phrase and win nothing.
All right.
Slurp my blank.
Well, I mean, the obvious answer for us as film sackers is this one right here. Where is it? I have it handy. Oh.
Slurp my butt.
We might hear slurp my butt in our heads, Brian, but I doubt that's what it is, or else we wouldn't do it.
Slurp my coffee. Oh, slurp my soup.
Slurp my soup?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say slurp my soup. I'll say coffee since he says soup. Slurp my coffee.
Okay.
And if it's butt, I'm going to be ticked. So go ahead.
Number two is slurp my snot.
Ew.
Oh, what?
And number one is slurp my girt.
What?
Slurp my girt?
Girt? Like G-U-R-T?
Yeah.
Girt. Hold on.
It's go-gurt or something.
Oh, slurp my girt. Okay, well, slurp my snot is bugging me, so I'm going to find out what that is. Oh, it's a Simpsons episode.
Oh.
Slurp my snot. It's something Bart tells Skinner.
Mm.
Here it is. Lisa, Bart receives a perfect score on a practice test for an upcoming vice president's assessment test by writing slurp my butt across his page. Or slurp my snot. Wow. All right. Well done. Daryl, you've blown my mind again. It's Daryl Skills from all the things he's from. You guys know the deal. Okay, bye. A little unceremoniously.
Still want to know it. Yeah, you slurp my girt. Must have been an advertising slogan or something.
I don't know what that is. All right, here's
the television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by
Flatbread.
So I had a lot of flatbread yesterday.
Mm.
We'll see how that goes later.
I had focaccia.
Oh, hold on. I know what that is.
We made homemade burgers and caramelized onions and a bechamel sauce. Mm. And
that sounds good, man.
Really, really good.
Hold on, focaccia. Hold on. Is that like a?
It's bread.
Flatbready,
yeah, kind of crusty. It's the bread that usually comes in a square shape, mm-hmm. and is bulging in the middle and the top. So it's like a.
Right.
Yeah.
You get it at a lot of Italian restaurants have it, and it's like all garlicky and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes. That's correct.
Sounds really good.
Very porous, like lots of when you cut it open.
Yeah.
Lots of holes in there.
Well, a woman wants to celebrate her 100th birthday by pole dancing.
Oh, fantastic.
When Ingerling celebrates her 100th birthday.
She's so famous, she only needs one name, Ingerling.
Ingerling. She plans,
favorite kind of potatoes.
Exactly. She plans to show her appreciation to her guests by pole dancing. She's even had a pole installed in her home in Chesterfield, Virginia. Just for this purpose, according to NBC 12, Ingering is a healthy enough for physical activity, but not even on medication. Oh, she's not even on medication, unless you count the daily glass of wine that she has.
Well, this won't be the most awkward party ever.
Oh, my Lord. I can't imagine this. Which is...
Expect to hear that noise a lot.
Yeah. Still, her choice of birthday activity did shock her daughter, Carol Lynch. Someone, let's see, some asked her what she wanted to do for her 100th birthday, and she said a pole dance, and no sooner said, "I don't know why I just said that," and then the rest of us said, "We don't know why you said it either. We didn't even know you knew about pole dancing, Mom, and now it's all happening. She's gonna pole dance." So good luck to that. I mean, but look, you're 100. You should get to choose what you want to do.
Sure.
If you're that old and your skin's gonna peel off because you're on a pole, go for it, man. Like, whatever. Don't let the world tell you no.
Sure, she's got the upper body strength to really rock that pole.
Yeah. I have an uncle who's 94, which he's the oldest uncle. He was always the oldest uncle I ever had. Like, even when I was a kid, I thought he was 100 years old. But he's 94 years old, and that guy is kicking it, driving everywhere, fully aware of everything, physically fit, wears a tie and a suit to everything he goes to. He's the man.
That's how I want to do it. That's how I want to roll when I'm in my upper years.
Yeah. Good luck to both of us.
Yes.
We're going to need it.
We can totally do it.
Shoeless Justin Bieber.
Oh, it's my favorite baseball player.
Well, you know, he threw that whole game and changed baseball forever. Shoeless Justin Bieber walked around the Boston Park and fed a squirrel.
Jeez. Well, you know what? In 10 years, it's going to be pantsless Justin Bieber wandered around an airport muttering something about a sandwich.
Well, if TSA gets any worse, there'll be no room to walk around about anything.
Right. Well, the terminal anyway.
The head of the first, he's got two shows happening at TD Garden. I don't know what that is. What does it stand for? TD Garden?
Don't know. It's some
big venue.
Sure, it's the company that does some sort of telecommunications and made them change the name from something really cool to TD Garden.
Yeah. Like us, we had the Delta Center. It sounded great. It was for the fine airline Delta, by the way, who I really like, Delta. And then they changed it to Energy Systems, or no, Energy Solutions Arena.
Yeah, we had Mile High Stadium, and then it became Sports Authority Field.
Oh, I hate it. Mile High is such a great name.
Yeah.
It's so indicative of Denver. And
we still figure out a way to wedge it in there. So we'll say, the Broncos are going to be playing this week at Mile High Stadium at Sports Authority Field.
Nice.
Or Invesco Field. It was for a while. Or maybe it is. I can't remember. I think Sports Authority is going out of business. So it's probably that.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
The internet killing yet another mom and pop retail
store.
Which
is funny because sporting goods... Those are one of those things that I would think would be impervious to online, or not impervious, but at least if you want a jersey, you know, you're going to go try it on, make sure it fits. If you want athletic shoes, whatever, you know, you don't pick up these things weeks in advance. It's like, oh, I got to play hockey this weekend. I need a stick.
Yeah, no, you always need that stuff. It's like everything's getting consolidated down to Walmart and Target for the walk-in, walk-outs, and everything else suffers. Because most of us are willing to wait for Amazon to ship it to us or something.
Mm-hmm. Wait the 2 days for Amazon Prime.
Yeah, it's a weird time, man. 22-year-old singer. He's 22 now. Mm. He's well over the age of drinking and has been drinking since the age of five.
Right.
Ventured into a public garden for some time alone. He wanted to be just there by his lonesome. But his presence didn't go unnoticed as fans took photos of him listening to music on a bench and feeding a squirrel near a tree. Bieber himself shared an uncaptioned landscape on a selfie on Instagram, writing, "Eyes are the window into the soul." Oh, shut up.
Exactly. Wow.
You know, when I was 22 and emotionally stunted, I said dumb stuff too, I guess.
I just love the fact that that's like, I'm going to feed a squirrel and sit in a park and... Eyes are the window of the soul. What the hell does that even have to do with anything, right? Like...
I think it's a cry for help.
Sometimes you just need a little time to yourself. Would have been a better caption.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Squirrels are the window to the chipmunks.
It's a. I think it's a cry for help. It's a silent cry for help. I think he wants out. That's what I think. At one point, Bieber dressed in a Thrasher hoodie, Thrasher brand, not Thrasher. They're not making a comment about his Thrasherness.
His Thrasher hoodie.
Yeah. Removed his shoes and wandered back to his hotel barefoot. Thanks to a bodyguard who kept his distance, his kicks were later returned. Oh, he left his shoes there, did he?
Yeah.
You freaking litter bug. Little litter Bieber.
Just left his shoes. I like to live the life where it's like,
I don't feel like wearing shoes anymore. I just take them off and leave them right here because I know my bodyguard will bring them to me.
That's right. Thanks, Bill. And, you know, eyes are the windows to the soul.
I'm too cool to carry my own shoes back to the hotel.
I don't know why I did Chewy there at the end.
Hope you get a planner's wart.
Not at his age. You're not there yet. Drowsy drivers delivers us a horde of bees and thousands of potatoes. It's actually just... It's actually a story I bumped from yesterday.
Fantastic.
There were a couple of rude awakenings for sleepy drivers this week. Under the apparent influence of inadequate rest, a truck driver spilled 50,000 pounds of potatoes on a highway in North Carolina. North Carolina, man, what a terrible place. Just kidding. That one guy's going to call in again. I got to be careful. I love North Carolina. Oh, no, he's South Carolina. Never mind.
Right.
He's happy at what I just said. Anyway, another truck unleashed millions of bees on the Wyoming interstate. The two incidents are just the latest in an epidemic of drowsy driving, which has killed over 300,000 people a year, or linked to over 300,000 accidents per year. Sorry. I got that slightly off.
Maybe not killed, but certainly.
Yeah. The potato incident, they're calling it. I like that.
Yeah.
Took place around 2 a.m. on Friday in Charlotte. Again, nothing good happens after midnight.
My favorite Guns N' Roses album.
Oh, 2 a.m. on Friday in Charlotte.
No, the potato incident. Oh.
You know, both of them kind of work.
They easily could be, yeah.
2 a.m. in Charlotte is a great name for a band or an album. Night shift workers are among the highest risk populations for drowsy driving crashes, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. This driver, who was taken to the hospital, is expected to recover, although he has a potato lodged in his anus and it'll never come out. But the crash led to a partial shutdown of the stretch of Interstate 77 for several hours. Maybe he fell asleep and sadly hit the guardrail, says Garrett Broccoli. Sorry, Bonacci. I like broccoli.
He's slightly mashed, but is otherwise unharmed. A little bit scalloped.
What other potato? Well, I like these potato jokes. These are good. I like Mr. Broccoli.
I look forward to your report, Mr. Broccoli.
All right, great.
he almost creamed the way he sputtered around that corner.
Oh, you sputtered. Yeah. And the engine sputtered out.
Dad joke.
It's all right. We're dads. We get to.
That's right.
Let's see. Another motorist who stopped to rescue the driver told the news station, "Thank the Lord, he's all right. And just look at all the potatoes."
It's funny that, you know, that this article goes on about the potato crash. I'm kind of a little more concerned about the millions of bees on the Wyoming interstate.
Yeah, we're kind of just letting that go, aren't we, folks?
Right, exactly. Let's bury the lead.
Let's see. I'm going to read down. Let's see if we can find some more. Yeah, they do mention this again toward the bottom. Okay, the honeybee incident took place 2 days earlier on Wednesday. That was in the afternoon in Laramie, Wyoming. I've been there. That is a desolate land.
Mm-hmm.
The beehives broke up when... Sorry, the beehives have broken up, everyone.
Oh, no!
The beehives broke open,
just
rather.
Just got to wait for a reunion tour.
When the driver apparently fell asleep and wrecked his truck. Highway Patrol Trooper Aaron Peter... That's a cool name. Aaron Peter. Said, quote, "Probably a football field in the direction of the truck has swarming with honeybees." So like a football field worth of space on the highway is just filled with bees. He fell asleep at the wheel as well. And now they're trying to get all those bees out of there. So good luck to you, folks.
Wow. Aaron Peter is not a great name if you worry about a testicular thrombosis.
Oh, right. Yeah, you don't. Oh, yes.
No Aaron Peter.
No Aaron Peter, please. No Aaron Peter, please. Finally, here's this story. You'll like this one. The federal government that we pay our taxes to here in these states united paid researchers to have a bee sting his penis.
Ooh.
That's right. You heard me. You heard me, parents. Paid. Driving the kids to school.
Penis. Paid to have this done. How much can I pay to not have it
done? Yeah, how much can I have my taxes go up 100% not to ever have this done to me? Taxpayers pay for this one scientist anyway to have a bee sting his unit, and paid other researchers to figure out that cheerleaders look more attractive in a group than individually. According to a painful new survey of wasteful spending released Tuesday by Senator Jeff Flake.
Senator Jeff Flake.
Jeff Flake.
Nice.
I've heard his name before and I love it. It just sounds so appropriate for what we think of as our senators these days. At a time when Obama...
Why do cheerleaders look more attractive in a group than individually?
What's the deal with stinging your penis? So it says here, at a time when the Obama administration, that's Barack Obama, I believe is how you say his name, is pleading for more money to fight the Zika virus, repair water pipes in Flint, and combat the growing opioid epidemic. Apparently, that's all crazy right now, as people are all hooked on weird versions of heroin that aren't heroin.
Jeez.
The ridiculous research project suggests there are plenty of room for to save money already in the budget, says Mr. Flake. Mr. Flake is like a soap,
or a James Bond villain.
Oh yeah, dude.
Mr. Flake.
No, Mr. Bond. You need to listen to me. Oh, Mr. Flake, you ever lose your car keys? Anyway, unnecessary projects include the $50,000 for researchers who studied femininity and masculinity in members of Congress. The National Science Foundation paid the University of California, Los Angeles, to conclude that Republican women are feminine and Democratic women are not. $50,000 for that. I can think of lots of uses for that $50,000.
Yeah, no kidding. Jeez.
What else did they say? Let's find another one here. The NFL minister playing propaganda. Okay.
Looking for more unnecessary studies.
Yeah, I want to find another weird one.
I'm really curious. I want to actually find out about the cheerleaders one. Like, what prompted that? Somebody say, you know what? Actually, we should probably do that in a study. We should probably figure out why.
Oh, here's okay. I found the B one.
Okay.
Michael L. Smith's bee sting study was a winner in 2015. Meaning the biggest waste, people say. Mm-hmm. Drawing cringes from Nobel judges who are astounded that he subjected himself to hundreds of stings across 25 different body parts, trying to gauge which hurt the most. He said scientists had previously tried to rank animals and insect stings compared to one another, but nobody had calculated whether or where on the body it is worse to get stung. While admitting that pain is notoriously difficult to quantify, basically they forced honeybees to sting him from the top of his skull to the tip of his middle toe. Every time I said top and tip, people cringed, thought I was going to say something else, but I didn't. I said,
thank you. Thank you for doing that.
Tip and top, yeah. Both of which tied for the least painful places. The penis turned out to be the only third worst out of 25 options, falling behind nose and upper lip. So, Brian, it's better to get stung on your penis than your upper lip or your nose.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I don't want to get stung in either place. Thank you. But
yeah, I'm not fine with any of this.
All right. Well, while you looked up that study, I discovered the Scientific American has the cheerleader effect, an article called The Cheerleader Effect, where they're basically just says that if you have a photo that contains multiple faces, it increases the attractiveness of all the faces in the photo. Whereas if you're alone in the photo, it's not as attractive because it's a subconscious perception that if there's multiple people in the photo, you must have friends and therefore you must be an attractive person.
Weird. Okay, now here's what I'm going to say. This might be controversial. I'm all for this stuff. I actually think it's fascinating. And I'm all for this sort of thing and finding this stuff out. It is the pursuit of truth. I love it. However, don't spend $50,000 on it. Right. I could have stung myself with 100 things and not spend a dime. Maybe $10 to go gather up the things I want to sting me.
Exactly.
You don't need $50,000 or whatever it costs to do the cheerleader deal. Let's do some just cheaper discovery. We don't have to always have a ton of money tied to it, especially tax money. So go for it, Flake. you're our man. If you can't do it, then a guy with a lesser name can. All right.
As a reminder, come to Vegas on, June 9th and be in an attractive photo with me.
Yeah.
And same-sex Mary and Gnome-wise as we do the Ibit experience down the strip of Las Vegas.
Let me make a guarantee.
All right.
Any photos taken with the group of you will automatically make all of you look better because you're standing next to a man in a Hawaiian shirt and a goofy hat.
I will be wearing the hat.
You'll all be more attractive.
This hat is coming with me to Vegas.
Of course it is. If you didn't take it with you, I'd be disappointed. Hello, all. Time to remind you again about our friends at Squarespace. Squarespace.com. You want to make a website, let's say it's dedicated to the many weird hats of Brian Ibbett, or his cat, for example. I don't know what it would be with me. So let's say it's those two things for him. And you want to make an amazing website at brianshats.com, assuming that's not taken. You can get the domain at Squarespace. You can get a free trial without a credit card at Squarespace. All the templates and tools you'll need to make it look amazing and have everyone thinking you're some kind of web genius. It'll look great on both mobile, that's phones, tablets, whatever, TV screens, and your computer. And you can do all of that for 10% off your order if at the end of that trial you put the code MORNING into the thing at checkout. That way you'll get 10% off your order. That's right. Squarespace.com, saving you some money, and we're helping out. Squarespace.com and the code MORNING. Build it beautiful. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back in a minute with major spoilers. He's making up for Monday, and because we didn't have a show Monday. Not his fault,
right.
Our fault.
It's so nice of him to do that.
Nicole had a thing, so she won't be here, but Tom will be here after that. So come on back. Before that, though, music.
Yes. All right. This is, we want some video game music here. Leslie in West Virginia wrote in and said, "Hey, guys, my husband and I have been listening to Frog Pants shows for a couple of years now, and we really enjoy what you do. He doesn't know I'm doing a song request, and I look forward to his reaction to this one. Any video game cover you have would be great. If not, my one-year-old loves your lullaby covers. Keep up the great work, Leslie in West Virginia." Oh, and is it too early to get a fish sandwich?
Always, but I'll play it anyway. Hold on. Fish sandwich.
I am too early, fish sandwich.
Okay.
Fish sandwich.
It's not quite the same.
Hey, too early to get a fish sandwich.
There you go.
Perfect. Yeah. All right. This is a rad video game cover. This comes from Sonic the Hedgehog, or Sonic the Hedgehog. Boy, cannot speak. Sonic the Hedgehog.
Uh-huh.
It's performed by Daniel Tidwell from his album Versus Video Games, which came out in 2010. It is Green Hills and Blue Blurs.
This and get it straight. Crime is a sucker's road, and those who travel it wind up in the gutter, the prison of the grave.
This is outrageous!
This is the Morning Stream.
Sounds so annoyed in that club. I love it. Like he's just had it. Right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to be here. Great song. Love Sonic the Hedgehog when it was good. Hate it now. It's a terrible game. It's a piece of garbage. Things have not improved for that game, sadly.
No.
What are you going to do, though? Nothing you can do, Brian. You have to accept it for what it is. Move on.
I got nothing, yeah.
Play what Mario. Just play Mario. It's Steven Schleicher time. I'm looking forward to have Steven on again.
I am, too.
You know, missed him. Wanted to talk a little about Civil War and all that business, and didn't get a chance to, so now's our chance. Here's his theme. From the windswept cornfields of Kansas comes one man with a mission. It's Steven Schleicher. Hello, Steven.
Man, you don't know how true that is.
Windswept, eh?
Oh, yes. Yeah, last night we had like a 60-mile-per-hour front blow through.
We had some of that, too.
At like midnight or something.
Yeah, we had some of that, too, and I think we sent it your way, but I wasn't ready for that. Like it messes you up and keeps you up at night, and the wind's blowing trees into the house and stuff like that.
Yep.
Freaking sucks.
I mean, fun spring weather.
Windows are rattling. Yeah.
Loads of fun. Those of you who have been through hurricanes, we understand that this isn't that bad compared to what you've been through. So save your emails for another time. Steven is usually here on Mondays to talk about the world of pop culture, comic books, movies, and more, but we had no show Monday and it was not your fault.
I was so sad.
Well, yeah, we missed you. But look at this now. We're making up for it. This is like a makeup day, and we're thrilled to have you here. So let's talk about it.
Okay.
I don't remember. Hold on. I got to dig back and see what we had.
There's a couple of things. Did you guys already talk about the news that Disney announced the ending of Disney Infinity line?
We didn't. No, I think that's a good topic.
We should. Yeah, it has a very local sting for us because it's 400 employees right here in Salt Lake City. And
oh, is it 400? Okay.
I think so. I think it was right around that.
Disney had said 300 people would be laid off at the Utah facility.
Oh, maybe it's 100. Maybe it's additional 100 total somewhere else or... because all that stuff sort of connected. Because the deal is, Steven, I think, is that they're not just shutting down Infinity, which barely had time to get a foothold.
Right.
Is citing in an internal memo that the Toys to Life genre was fading.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to get out of that thing.
They're closing down the entire Avalanche software facility there in Utah. They're stopping the production of the Disney Infinity line. There are, like three more updates are coming out between now and the end of the summer.
Yeah.
Which kind of was like, but we're closing everything down, but here's our product that you can go buy if you want, which was kind of a dumb kind of thing to announce then, is that, hey, we've also got more stuff coming out on a game that's no longer going to be supported.
Yeah.
But in their statement, Bob Iger had said, the first product sold really well. We did better than Skylanders. The second product, the second release was just all right. And then this last one that came out during the Star Wars and the new Avengers iteration, they said really underperformed what they expected. So Disney's taking a $147 million loss on this, and we won't be seeing Infinity past June.
Well, now's the time to scoop up those figurines, man, because...
The gameplay, we had it, and the kids kind of liked it. It was really kind of, at times, confusing to play, but the figures are awesome, and if you want to scoop them up, I mean, I'm sure people will be selling these at a discount. Over the next couple of months. So pick them up now because they're fantastic looking.
So
I've got the full set of the Marvel ones because they're just so dang cool. The design, the stylization on these are just so cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And likely they'll go up in value now because this is not going to be a supported platform anymore. So if anyone's got unopened ones, you've probably got yourself something. My two daughters both have jobs at the university games division thing. And they see these people from Avalanche coming in and out of there all the time. In fact, multiple graduates from the game design program there have gone on to work at Avalanche and other divisions of EA, but Disney Interactive.
Mm-hmm.
And there a bunch of them are losing their jobs. Like, it's a big, ugly thing here.
Yeah, it really is kind of bad. It's kind of sad, too.
For a company, too, that I'm not saying Disney should get in the business of funding projects that are losing the money simply because they have so much money everywhere else. So I know a business can't run like that, and you can't really, if they wanted to see this as a loss leader, I suppose they could, and they could keep pushing it the way, when Sony launches a console, it's like 2 years before this hardware makes any money, that sort of thing. But they clearly don't see any reason to do that, and they're getting out of the game's publishing business, period.
Yeah, they're not going to be doing any other gaming stuff. It's all going to be licensed out to other gaming companies who want to pick it up, which makes sense because apparently to do one iteration of Infinity, costs $100 million to produce.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Which is, wow. I thought the average was like $40 to $50 million, but if this is $100 million to produce a game, yeah. Holy crap, man.
And if the Toys to Life genre is not exploding the way they needed to, then I guess I don't blame them from a corporate level thing. But like one of my favorite artists in the world, his name's Adam Coford. He's here in Salt Lake City. I've been following him for years before he even got the job here. And he's amazing. One of the most talented people I've ever seen in my life. And he got dinged by this, like totally out of there. Like, I'm just depressed about it. It sucks. Like, actual people losing actual jobs. You forget what that's like until you live right next to it, you know?
Did you hear about it there in Utah yesterday as soon as it was announced, or did you get a heads up like a day ahead?
I didn't hear about it until I saw it on Twitter. So, Corinne, who helps run that department at the U, probably had some insider stuff. I don't know. She never said, obviously, but I'm guessing some people were aware before it happened, but most of us were kind of blindsided, including it sounded like from Twitter that Adam had no idea it was coming.
Mm. Yeah, I think a lot of people were just totally surprised by it. But, you know, in their report, and this is me just going over it briefly, I think Disney brought in $2.3 billion last year,
yeah,
which was up from the year before, but their stock prices were not didn't hit their mark. And so overall, they were kind of dinged for that, and that may be one of the reasons why they're like, hey, let's get rid of all the dead weight. And apparently Disney Infinity is dead weight.
Yeah, it's too bad. I just feel like it wasn't here very long, but also I did start to have this feeling, and it was totally me, and I'm not saying I was indicative of any market trends, but I got the feeling that this Toys to Life stuff was starting to not, people were caring less.
Somebody had posted over at Major Spoilers in the comment section is like, oh, that's too bad for Disney Infinity, but yay for Lego Dimensions. And I'm wondering if that's really the case, yay for Lego Dimensions, because at least with Disney Infinity, I could go to the store and they would always be out of that one figure you wanted.
Yeah,
I can go to the store and the Lego Dimensions stuff litters the shelves. So I wonder if that's even doing
well. And they haven't marketed it very well
either.
So, but also maybe their investment's lower. You know, maybe they, maybe the fact that their whole world is building plastic shit.
And really the figures and stuff, they're already cranking that stuff out. It's Warner Brothers that's putting the games together.
Sure. So. And that's just, you know, staff and development and stuff like that. So there's a good chance that stuff's not nearly as dinged because it's not like inventing a whole new business on top of what you're doing.
Right.
I don't know. It's a weird place. It reminds me of when Rock Band and Guitar Hero and that stuff started to wane. And they recently tried to bring all that back, and it's waning again. Like people are like, it didn't sell like it needed to. Nobody really cares that much. Like trends are hard. You just don't know. Like when the first iPod came out, people were convinced this is a trend that's going to die. And they were wrong. And then sometimes you think it's going to last forever and you're wrong. So anyway, business.
I do have some good news for you, Scott. Maybe this will cheer you up.
Oh, good.
More bone is coming.
Oh, good. I could use some more bone in my life. not colored by Steve Hammaker, though, I'm guessing.
No, it won't be colored by Steve Hammaker. This is going to be black and white. This
won't
is Jeff Smith.
Won't be colored by anybody. Yeah.
No, this is Jeff Smith. It's called Bone Coda. It's a 32-page one-shot. It's coming out later this year, and it basically follows the Bone Brothers as they leave the valley and go back to Boneville. And a lot of people are very excited about it. It's scheduled to arrive in July.
So, yeah, I like Jeff Smith's work. I think he's great. He's known to be a bit of a booger in real life. But I think maybe sometimes our most eccentric creators are, so who cares? But he hasn't created anything new with Bone in a very long time.
Oh, no. Ever since the Bone series finished, the two things that he's worked on that I know of is Rassel, R-A-S-L, which is a great kind of dimension hopping story.
Yeah.
And then there's another one that I forget what the title of it is, but I think it has to do with like a Aboriginal character running around. I don't remember exactly what it is, but it hasn't sold well. It's a true indie comic, but you know, Bone's coming back and a lot of people should be excited about it. It's only a one shot, which is a shame.
Coda, you're right. It's called Coda. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. The new thing is called Coda.
Yeah.
The Bone Coda. Hold on, I'm trying to. I have the name of the thing you're thinking of. Oh, Tuki is the
Tuki.
One.
Tuki, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I'm on their press list, and I get these things occasionally.
Yeah.
He also did work on a really fantastic run of Shazam. He was the artist on that run, and I'm sure other stuff I'm not thinking of, but Jeff Smith, man, does some cool stuff. I wish Hammaker was involved because Hammaker's a genius.
Well, I'm sure that, you know, the colored collection, the collections that they've put out from, I think it's Scholastic that put those out for kids, mm-hmm. In the kids' book buying things at the schools.
Yeah.
That sold really well. So I would imagine probably within a year, we will see a colorized version of this Bone Coda for Scholastic Press.
Right. Interesting. Well, I don't know, man. My kids all have the full set of Bone. Why not add this to it, I suppose?
Yep, mm-hmm. Definitely.
What'd you think of Civil War? Where you're at with it? You didn't like it as much as we did.
No, I didn't like it. Definitely didn't like it as much as you did. People who follow me on Twitter know it's mine. Of all the Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff, it's my number 5 movie now.
Oh, man.
Wow. Yeah. There's just, unfortunately, and here's the problem, and I don't want to try to ruin it, the movie for anyone who hasn't seen it, but Marvel Universe, at least in the comic side, tries to pride itself as we're in the real world, right? This mm-hmm. is Brooklyn, this is Queens, this is the President of the United States, all these things are set here. So when you have a movie like Captain America Civil War, you can tell maybe you've heard the phrase, the bigger the lie, the more people will believe it.
Yeah.
So you can tell a really big story about these people with these incredible superpowers and these fantastic things, but then when you're screwing up on just little bitty nitpicky things that don't logically make sense in the movie, it really shows all the holes in the overall story and brings it down for me. So,
here's
one spoiler. Okay. Here's one spoiler.
All right. Close your ears, everybody. One tiny one.
3, 2, 1. How did Zemo get the EMP up to his hotel room and then back down without anybody noticing it?
Piece by piece. Smoke
really?
His jacket.
Really? Because it was completely built in his room when we did the pan over to reveal it.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's just those kind of things that are just like, what? That's dumb.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't even notice that. You're totally right. That's a dumb thing. Sometimes that gets that it yeah. No, all right, I'll give you that
freight
one.
Freight elevator.
Spoiler out.
That's an amazing elevator. They used the freight elevator for that thing.
I'm sure.
Maybe he has teleportation technology. We just don't know about it yet.
Maybe.
Maybe I'll make up other things to make up for lazy filmmaking.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, it was a good movie. I enjoyed the heck of it.
Sure.
I would see it again.
Yeah.
But I just, in the pantheon of the 11 or 12 movies that we have from the Marvel MCU, it's definitely in my top 5.
Wow. All right. Well, that's still high. I mean, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, when you think about it, it beats so many others.
What's 1 through 4 for you then?
So 1 through 4. Captain America 1,
yeah.
Iron Man 1,
okay.
Captain America 2,
okay.
Ant-Man,
all right.
and then Civil War.
Oh, interesting.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. So Avengers 1 not in there for you?
No, not really. Guardians is now at number 6. Civil War bumped Guardians down just by
gotcha.
One.
Well, I always have to have Avengers way up there because there's a Obey Henry poster in it. So I have to right. I have to give it some love.
Yeah.
Right. Excellent. Well, there you have it. Steven, anything else before we send you back to the windy plains?
Nope, not a lot this week. I would invite everyone to check out our YouTube channel, Major Spoilers Videos. Subscribe, check out our videos, and a whole lot more.
Nice. It's Major Spoilers on Twitter as well, everybody.
Yep.
Take it easy, Steven. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye now.
See you.
Bye now. I always say that, don't I? Bye now.
Bye now.
You know what time it is. You might be familiar
with
this segment.
Isn't it?
You might be.
Tom's testicular tech time.
His testicles are tectacular. His tectonic testicles. It is recording. Oh, he's right there. I'm gonna play this thing. Hold on, you butts. It's right here, right now.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
You know him, you love him. It's Tom Merritt, everyone. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Brian and Scott.
How are you?
Hello.
I am well. I'm sorry. Did I miss a call?
No. Yes. But we thought maybe it was because we were a few minutes early. Like, well, usually we have Nicole a little longer and she wasn't here today. So it's probably why. But no,
that would be why.
Not
yeah. I was upstairs talking about Eurovision with Eileen.
Oh,
placing our bets.
How'd that? Oh, because that's coming up.
Yeah. So the first semifinals were yesterday. I think the next semifinals are tomorrow. And then the finals are on Saturday at noon Pacific. 1 o'clock mountain.
Who are you pulling for there?
I don't know. I tell you what, I enjoy just watching it and hearing Graham Norton from BBC make fun of everything.
That's pretty good. I agree. I agree. My sister's really into this too.
Go ahead, Brian. Cord killer, where can you watch the Eurovision contest? Just
well,
online
this year,
somewhere?
It's on YouTube. So you can find it there. And then previous year's Eurovision's website has had the direct feed. Mm. So I don't know how I'm able to hear Graham Norton. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I didn't hear that. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, it's good to have you back. It's Tom Merritt. Comes on Wednesdays, talks about technology. It's Wednesdays, which also means I'll be on DTNS later today. I love Wednesdays. It's always a very tech-filled day. We have a guest today even. But what's going on in the world? I haven't been paying attention this morning.
Well, first of all, the Wall Street Journal is saying that the next two Nintendo games will be free to play, which I think is a hilarious. First of all, the Wall Street Journal cares that much because I guess it impacts Nintendo's earnings.
Yeah.
Also, not a shocker. We kind of expected that to be the case. And so going and finding secret sources to tell you this is kind of funny. But the bigger gaming news is the shutdown of Disney.
Disney gaming.
All Disney gaming. Goodbye.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit with Steven. It's pretty shocking. And here in Salt Lake is where they were biggest hit. There were 300 or so employees here that were essentially the Infinity team, the Disney Infinity team. And they all were a bit surprised, apparently, and all kinds of crazy stuff going down. So we've talked a bit about it, but from a business perspective, it makes sense for them. If they're going to take $147 million or whatever it was hit, what business would keep that alive? That seems crazy, even when the rest of Disney seems to be doing gangbusters.
Well, yes. $147 million is what they're going to write down as our cost of closing it. So that's people's payoff amount. So it's severance pay. I consider it a payoff amount because usually severance agreements include don't disparage the company if you want to get your severance amount.
Sure.
But it also is Disney strategically moving away from video games and just saying video game companies are better than this at this than we are. So we are going to let EA do Star Wars. We are going to license our properties to others and potentially have more games that way, I think.
Yeah, they in the wake of this news, they announced that a sequel to this year's or to 2015's Battlefront reboot, Star Wars Battlefront. Battlefront 2 is coming out next year or maybe the end of this year. So, all is well in terms of, like, properties they want to push and gaming connections they want to have at Disney.
Yeah.
They just don't want to be in that business anymore. It's a bit like LucasArts and others before them where it's like, I don't know. I don't think we're good at this. There's no reason that we need to keep taking this hit or have it affect our stock prices. And instead, let's just put it in the hands of people who do this all day, every day.
Which is interesting to me because Disney's strategy seems to be let's become an entertainment company with the best properties across all the platforms. So we have a television studio does Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and we have a television studio and even a network that does Star Wars Rebels. But we also have the movies and we also have the theme parks. And they seem to be saying video games aren't a profitable part of that strategy. So I don't know if that's them looking at LucasArts and now their own gaming house and saying these weren't properly managed, so we need to back out for a little bit before we dive back in, or if there's something about video games that isn't as friendly to an entertainment business as many have thought.
Do you think it's just strictly a volatility thing? Like, it's the business is known for pushing out a giant AAA title in some huge studio with 300-400 people in it, and even though the game sells extremely well and has big reception and critical acclaim, 2 weeks later they announce they're laying off half the team. Like, it's that is not an unusual thing to hear in this weird business. And there are very few companies that seem to be immune from it. I would point at maybe Valve and Blizzard and maybe a couple of others who seem to weather those storms better. And they have clearly different kinds of focuses than the overall industry. But it just seems like that volatility probably just isn't something that we'll mess with. The way I think they're looking at it is not that video games aren't profitable. And I think they expect to make loads of money off licensing to these other companies. But I just think they're looking at it going, well, do we want to build a world-class game development publishing arm, or do we want to just kind of be halvesies like we are right now? And I think it just swung that way. It just swung this direction of like, well, let's just not half-ass it. Let's have people who are doing this all day do it for us. You know, like any contracting, really. It's like, do I need to have, should I become a competent CPA or should I hire an accountant for, you know, $100 a year to do my taxes?
I would hire someone.
I would too.
And did. Yeah, I see what you're going at there. And it made me think of something I hadn't thought of but yet, which is, okay, well, what's the difference between that and what they've done with movies, right? Mm-hmm. They go out and they acquire Marvel. They acquire Star Wars. And they had a perfectly legitimate movie business inside. They didn't shut down their own movie business. They didn't shut down their own TV stations. And their TV stations have to make things that are non-Disney. You know, you have non-Disney properties all over ABC. Right. I think maybe what it is Disney Infinity just wasn't good enough for the Disney standard, and maybe LucasArts wasn't either. And I hate to say that because I think LucasArts was great.
Yeah.
But maybe there's some internal metric that Disney said, no, these don't measure up. Would it be crazy to think that Disney divests themselves of all of this and down the road buys an EA?
Right.
Or buy, you know, maybe EA is the wrong one, but you know, buys a premier Marvel-like video game company.
Sure. I mean, even... It seems crazy to say it, but so did buying Star Wars at the time, so I'll say it anyway. The idea that they could buy Activision and suddenly own Activision, Blizzard, and whatever Vivendi crap's left in Europe, that isn't that crazy of an idea. And they would end up with a lot of interesting IP crossover. They could do all kinds of things with like movie and television. Like,
people have talked about whether Disney should buy Nintendo in the past.
Oh my gosh, yes. That'd be amazing. Marrying those two worlds, imagine that.
And if you want to get, if you want to pull out your tinfoil hats, folks, and put them on, maybe getting rid of Disney Infinity paves the way to acquire Amiibos.
Oh, see? Look at that.
That's interesting.
Stay into the Toys to Life market. Well, and that's the only, one other indicator we got from this is that internal memo talking about how Toys to Life was not performing the way everyone thought. They do not think it's a growth market anymore. The trend is waning. That was probably enough to pull the plug, but I think you're right. I don't think it's all that tinfoil hatty. I think they are in a position, if anyone is in the entertainment business, to just buy who they need and then not have to build that out and become an entity of its own. But it is still kind of an end of an era, kind of a half era. But, you know, Disney's been doing Disney Interactive has been around for a while and making games. And I think this
Which is longer, an epoch or an era? End of an epoch?
Epic is...
I think an epic is longer.
Yeah, epic's longer. So a full epic would be like...
Epoch.
Yeah.
My rapper name. I rap about long historical.
Oh, I love Epoch. He's so good. West Coast all the way, son. Well, all that and more today on DTNS, and very much looking forward to it. Anything else we should know about?
Sean Bean has been roped into formally announcing that Civilization VI will be released October 21st.
Does that mean he's doing the VO on it? Is that what that
means?
He
did the VO on the trailer.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
Okay. You're excited about that, I know.
I always am.
Yeah, Civilization announcements are...
I don't play it as often. Like, Civilization 5, I did not play very much.
Yeah.
But that is a problem with my lifestyle, not a problem with my love of Civilization.
Yeah, the game is not at fault here. But you're not really either. You're a busy man. Also, along those lines, what was I just going to tell you? Something you said, Sean Bean, it reminded me of something. Oh, crap.
Someone Tom Hardy killed and, very early Star. On in the story.
No. No. Gosh dang it. It was good, though. Frick.
Well, sorry.
I'll think, no, it's all okay. Listen, it's my brain, not yours. It's the fault of my brain. It's a great movie and book.
Do you think that, never mind. I was going to make some thing about Disney, like, you know, going and swinging the sword themselves because Johnny.
Oh, nice. Very well said. Yeah. I wonder if they are honorable folk. Sure.
I'll open source that joke. There are the parts. Go build it yourself.
I like it. All right. Creative Commons on that one. Yeah, anything else you'd like to mention before we go?
Oh, dude, I know I keep going on about it every week, but I am blown away about how many people have pre-ordered Pilot X. We passed 650 this morning, so I'm just 100 pre-orders. If one of you would just order 100 copies. No, we just need 100 more pre-orders, and I will hit that 750 goal, which looked like an insurmountable mountain when I first launched this project. Yeah. And the fact that you know, we're getting within spitting distance of it is amazing. So if you've at all been interested in the book Pilot X that I've been talking about, if you haven't heard, it's about a time traveler who just wants to travel around in his time ship, but he gets sucked into a dimensional war that may lead to him having to destroy his own people. You should check out some of the sample chapters and maybe drop $10 on a pre-order if you would.
I think it's a great idea.
Inkshares.com. If you're like, great, where do I do that? Inkshares.com. Search for Pilot X.
Call to action, baby. All right. Today, 2:30 Mountain Time. Check out the Daily Tech News Show. I'll be on Stuart. Oh, what's his last name?
Stuart Chaffee.
Chaffee. That's
Computer
it.
Chronicles, the PBS show that ran... Depending on where you look, it's either 81 or 83, which is one of the things I want to ask Stuart Chaffee about, until 2002. So it was a monster of chronicling computers. And particularly, we want to talk to him about his VR episode from 1992, because there's so much familiar in that episode. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm very interested in this. I'm so stoked that I'm on the day he's on. So Come check that out, everybody. DailyTechNewsShow.com. And, of course, Tom Merritt is at Ace Detect on Twitter. Tom, take it easy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
See you. Bye.
All righty. Brian, that's going to do it for today's programming.
Really?
Yep, that's going to do it. It really is. And I'm slumping so bad I can see it on camera. I got to sit up.
It's not good for your spine there, Johnson.
No, and I've got back stuff, so I got to quit doing. I got to quit sitting like a dorm college schlub. Student. Yeah. Like I'm just sitting around waiting for the next episode of Freaks and Geeks to come on. I got to get with it to win it. Today is a good day to watch all sorts of cool stuff happening around frogpants.com. And again, don't forget, you want those movie tickets. You want to see Brian and I. You want to see Tom. He was here. Mm-hmm. He's coming too.
Right. Everybody you just heard in one place, live.
Yep. And same-sex Mary now. Mm-hmm. Well, the two of them. The John and Paul, they're coming.
I hope I didn't insult the rest of the band by saying that.
No. I mean, look, like I was saying with Huey Lewis in the news, I knew how important the news was. We all know how important they
exactly.
are. Yes, exactly. Just because Huey gets to be in a helicopter. He flew a Huey. I didn't even think about that. Right. Huey Lewis flew the Huey in that movie we saw.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. Wow.
It's a Huey flying a Huey.
Why didn't we, that's too bad we didn't bring that up.
Well, we're just dumbasses. All right, that's it. Let's get out of here. Patreon.com/TMS is how you can support this show. Keep it on the air. Please do. Patreon.com/TMS. Thank you to everyone who's already supporting us there. And if you haven't, consider doing so. We would really appreciate it. The show's streamed every day at alphageekradio.com. So check that out if you'd like audio streams and video. They simulcast that there. Big thanks to DiamondClub.tv for letting us use their streaming service as well. Frogpants.com/TMS is the website. Everything else can be found there, including our Twitter accounts, Coverville, Scott Johnson, and Morning Stream. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is our email address. And you can leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. That's going to do it for us. Let's get the H out of Dodge, and we'll do it with Brian playing a thing.
Sure. This one's going out to Hendrik, who says, "Dear Luftballoons and Autobahn, I'm writing you today in celebration of the newly completed 20-odd years of my friend Busty. He's a true podcast addict and the one who introduced me to this never-ending barrage of poop jokes. Mm. TMS has become a solid part of our lives and the origin of many inside jokes between us two. Hello there," he has in quotes. Okay. "Keep up the great work. I can't imagine my daily commute without the Frog Pants family taking my time away. And now, music. Since he sponsored my recent change to Android, how about a cover of Radiohead's Paranoid Android from a band called Mother Falcon? If that's not fitting, I'm sure the maestro will find something liking of two German computer scientists. Anything Pink Floydian will be greatly appreciated. Thanks again, Hendrik. P.S. I totally tricked you into pronouncing his name correctly. Sabotage." Nice. I don't know when he did it, but
I don't either.
It must not be Busty the way he's got it written in there. I'm guessing it. He gave it to me phonetically.
I think so too. But also, I just want to say, nice reference to the Sabotage.
Oh,
perfect.
Yes, Sabotage.
Yeah, good job.
All right, this is Paranoid Android, performed by the band Mother Falcon. This comes from an entire tribute to Radiohead that they did called MF Computer, and it came out in 2014. Cover of Radiohead's Paranoid Android. Here is Mother Falcon.
Oh.
show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
It was the first attractive voice I'd heard all day.
Mmm. Mmm. Mmm.